We are kicking off a new sermon series this week called The 5 Habits of Missional People. 5 things that we can build into our lives every day to join Jesus in mission in the world. Missional people seek to serve Jesus wherever they are. They aren't just in church. Wherever we happen to be during the week, we are serving Jesus where we are. Missional people understand that the church is not a fortress where we come to be protected from everything that happens in the world, but church is a missional outpost. Church is a missional outpost where we come to learn, to be discipled, and then we go out and serve and impact the world for Christ. Whether we're at work, we're at the grocery store, we're visiting relatives, we're on vacation, we act and we live in such a way that others see Jesus through us, through our words, through our thoughts, through our actions, our deeds. Missional people understand that every single Christian is a missionary. Every single one of us is a missionary. One of my favorite living theologians, the Australian Alan Hirsch, puts it this way. Every Christian is a missionary, and we are called to live out our commitment to Jesus' lordship in every sphere, in every domain of our life. Church life, as we normally conceive of it, it's just one dimension of our life. And all of us inhabit many other realms that make up our lives. What marks Christianity as distinct is that it is truly a people movement. Every believer, not just some presumed religious elite, every believer is an agent of the kingdom and is called to bring God's influence into all the realms of human existence. Friends, we are a people movement. We are all charged to awaken the reality in other people that God is love, that God loves them, that Jesus loves them, that the movement of the Holy Spirit, God wants to work in their lives. We're supposed to awaken everybody to that as we move through our week. The fact that we are all missionaries can make some of us squeamish and make some of our stomachs turn because of some of the missionaries and evangelists that we have experienced over the years. Most of us don't get too excited to take on the label missionary or evangelist because the mental picture we have of an evangelist is the bullhorn guy, is the guy standing on a street corner interrupting our day, telling us we're all sinners going to hell. When I was a freshman in college in 1999, and then you can figure out my age from there. So when I was a freshman in college, we had a street preacher arrive one afternoon. He had an enormous billboard on his back that said we were all sinners going to hell, and for some reason told us that all the women on campus were prostitutes. Okay, great way, good starting point, good entry point for the gospel. There were many intense yelling matches that day. I doubt if anybody was brought into a relationship with Jesus that day. 20 years ago, a friend of mine was on a mission trip to Tanzania. They lived in a village for a week. They played soccer. They played other games with the kids. They worked with the adults on a number of different service projects in this little village. One day, as they're playing and working together, an air-conditioned bus pulls up, and out comes a different group of Christians. So they bring out puppets and games and toys, and everyone plays together for a bit, and then they present the gospel of Jesus in the classic you're all sinners going to hell fashion. Once complete, the air-conditioned bus takes all the puppets, all the toys, all the games away, and they head off, leaving my friend's mission team and the village in a state of shock. Like, they've all just experienced this drive-by evangelism, and it's not received well at all. And my friend's mission team is kind of picking up the pieces after they left. Lest you think this style of sharing faith is limited to the 20th century, just 3 years ago, I was in Rapid City for a conference. And one evening, as everyone was eating downtown, a young guy, he was probably in his 20s, starts street preaching. In a very similar fashion, very similar message, he also starts chastising the people for, among other things, women having short haircuts like the men and men having long hair like the women. It's apparently really key to following Jesus today. One comical bit is that the worship team that was leading our conference had the exact same kind of hair that this guy was railing against. Not many people are following Jesus as a result of this guy's street preaching. Now, one of the reasons I think is why we bristle against these kind of evangelists and missionaries is that the strategy of starting with telling people what they're doing wrong doesn't really win a lot of people to Jesus. Even if we have a deep relationship with other people, it is still difficult to hear from people that we really love where we fall short, where we make mistakes, where we sin. I don't think we need a lot of people reminding us that, yes, we are sinners, we make mistakes. I know that. Also, these missionaries, these evangelists, they weren't walking with these communities that they were serving. The street preacher at my college didn't realize there were Christians all over the campus. There were students and staff and faculty doing their best to model what it looks like to follow Jesus on this campus. The drive-by evangelists in Tanzania didn't realize there were already Christians living and working with this village in Tanzania. The street preacher in Rapid City did not respect the Christians already living and working there. What if those traveling evangelists had partnered with the Christians already there? What more could have God have done had they worked with the people and the Christians already living and working with all these different populations? I think another reason we bristle at this kind of evangelism, we find it in 1 Peter. 1 Peter writes, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so those who will speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ might be ashamed of their slander." So many street preachers, missionaries, and evangelists might have fantastic reasons for the hope that they have, but they can lack basic gentleness and respect for other people. The 2x4 approach to evangelism, not always effective. Now, we do read in Scripture that there are some of us, likely some of us in this room today, you have the gift for evangelism. Whether it's one person or speaking in front of tens of thousands of people, you have the gift through your actions, your words. You can put together moving oratory and speeches to help draw people to Jesus. There are absolutely folks that have that gift. But friends, this series is not for them. This series is for the rest of us. This series is for the rest of us who understand that we are indeed missionaries where we are, but we need some habits, some ideas on how we do this. How do we live everyday lives in all the different places we go to help point people to Jesus? To put it simply, the rest of us, we need to live questionable lives. We should be living in such a way that people ask us questions about why we do what we do. Why are we not at home on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights? Not the times we go to the lake and the river and camping, that's all good. But why are we not at home on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights when we're instead at the church? In already hectic schedules, why do we bother to make the time to spend an hour or more at church on a monthly or more basis? Why do we spend this time to be here, to be at this missional outpost, to learn how to reach out in service and concern to our world? Why do we take time out of our personal schedules to serve with kids or students or facilitate a class or help in worship or cook dinner or weed the plants or take the offering or serve coffee or shake hands or the hundred of other things that we do? We do it because life isn't about us. Life is not about us. It's about loving God and loving other people. We live questionable lives by the way we give our time, our talents, our treasure, by prioritizing those activities above so many other things that can compete for our daily schedules. Church is that place we go to be trained as a disciple. It's not the place, not the fortress, not the castle to protect us from the world, but it's where we're trained up to go out into the world to serve in the power of the Holy Spirit. We get this idea of church from Jesus and from his treatment of the disciples. Here's what he does with the disciples one time in Luke chapter 9. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, "Take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." So they set out. They went village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Notice their starting point. As opposed to starting and telling people everything they've done wrong, that their sinner is going to hell, the disciples proclaim the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom has arrived. God's kingdom is here. And as proof, as evidence of the kingdom, I'm going to show you what this kingdom is like. And they heal people around them. I've got to think that preaching about the kingdom and healing people is going to open a lot more doors than the starting point of some of the evangelists that we have seen. Jesus has spent time training the disciples, and now it's time for them to go out and do, to heal and preach that the kingdom of God is now near. Pretty bold not to take anything for the journey, right? If I'm packing, I'm going to prepare to have all my chargers with me so I don't get bored along the way. And I've got my itinerary set and my reservations made. It's not the way I typically travel. Now, when Austin, our homegrown missionary in Southeast Asia, was here, he was telling us some stories about times when they did actually this, when these young adults would go into places in India, and they would go without any staff, any kind of things, and rely upon the radical hospitality of the friends, of the people of India. Now, for those of us warming to the idea that every Christian is a missionary, we are all called to point others to Jesus, we're going to need some steps before we step into the kind of mission trip that Jesus sent the disciples on. One very simple habit, and the first habit that missional people build into their lives, is this: bless other people. Throughout our lives this week, we can simply bless others. In Old English, the word bless means to add strength to another person's arm, to add strength, add muscle to somebody else. So when we want to bless another person, we're going to build them up. We're going to fill them with encouragement to do what needs to be done. We're going to help them increase in strength and prosperity. We're going to build each other up when we bless others. When we bless other people, in our busy world and the pace that we all go at, we surprise them. Blessings come as an interruption. They're an interruption, a welcome and surprising interruption to our day. Not only should we as Christians be living questionable lives, we should be surprising people. We should be surprising other people all the time. When we choose to add strength to another person's arm, to live questionable lives, to surprise the world, you're going to be surprised at how many times you'll get to talk about Jesus. By having your starting point, blessing other people, by living questionable lives, people are naturally going to start asking you questions about why you do the things you do, and then you can tell them about Jesus. Friends, it doesn't take much to live questionable lives. It does not take much to surprise the world today. Here's just a couple of quick ideas about how we can reach out to our believing and unbelieving neighbors, family, and friends. First, you can bless other people with words of affirmation. This is the simplest way you can bless somebody else. Take time to write a handwritten note. Send a text. Fire off an email that says, "Well done. Dinner was fantastic tonight. Thanks for giving me a lift today. You know, I appreciate all of the things that you do that so often go unnoticed." Words of affirmation, they don't need to be much. Just an acknowledgement that, look, I know what you did. I know how much time it took you to do this, and I really appreciate it. Mark Twain said, "I can live for 2 months on a good compliment." And Michael Frost, the author of the book Surprising the World, noted, "A word of encouragement is like oxygen to the soul." So friends, when you go into your week this week, provide life, provide oxygen to someone's soul just by saying, "Thank you. I noticed what you did." Second, you can bless other people with acts of kindness. Take time to mow someone's lawn. Help somebody move this week. Do the dishes without being asked. Take out the garbage. Babysit an exhausted couple's kids. Join our meals ministry. Bake and cook for some families that are in need. Bless other people by doing something tangible for them. This past November, just before the winter that buried us all, we had a knock on our door just before we were going to get ready to eat dinner. And it was one of our neighbors. She needed a hand lifting her snowblower off her truck. And I thought, okay, I'm going to sit down to dinner, but it'll take just a minute. So I quick put on some shoes. Oh, am I kidding? I put on flip-flops. I don't ever put the flip-flops away. They're right there. They go on quick. So I put on flip-flops and went out and helped her move the snowblower. I literally lent an arm to my neighbor who needed it. Later in the winter, she shared some gas as we were snowblowing the street, trying to get out during that Christmas blizzard, and she gave me some absolutely wonderful homemade strawberry and choke cherry jam. I did my civic duty and ate the jam. It was fantastic. Cleaned the jars and returned them, hopefully, hoping that they might be filled again and returned to me. I prefer my blessings to come in the form of food. So take some time this week and bless another person with a favor or practical support. Third, you can bless other people with gifts. Completely, totally, out of the blue, random gifts. There is nothing that some folks love than gifts that come unexpectedly. My daughter's love language is receiving gifts. When we moved and set up their bedrooms a few years ago, I bought Eli and Miranda each a new stuffed animal. I got Eli Wally, that little robot from the movie, stuffed animal, and Miranda, I got a Princess Twilight Sparkle from My Little Pony. And Eli thought it was fine, but Miranda loved it. And she still has that My Little Pony on her shelf with her 100 other animals. Now, this last couple weeks ago, when Vicky was away at camp, Miranda spent significant time painting this cup. It was one of those cups that has a thing you can color around it. So she took time with Sharpies and spent a lot of her time that week coloring this cup because she wanted her mom to know how much she missed her and wanted to give this gift as a sign of her love. So friends, bless someone this week with a tangible gift. Give something that shows them that you love them, that you want to help strengthen them in whatever is going on in their life. Every week in this series, I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. I'm going to give you a challenge to practice what we've been talking about in worship, to surprise the world, to live a questionable life. So this week, I want you to bless three people. Bless three people, and one of them cannot be a part of legacy. That's it. You can knock it out right after worship. You can send three texts and words of affirmation, and you are done. You could bake cookies and bless your neighbors. You can mow three lawns because you know three people who hate to do that chore. Bless three people this week, one of whom they're not a part of legacy. And when you come back next week, share your story on your Connect card. Tell us what you did, how you chose to bless three people in the next 7 days. As Christians, we bless people because we love God and we love others, not primarily hoping they become a Christian too. Yes, that would be awesome, that would be incredible and great, but we bless everyone, even people who are hostile to the Christian faith. Paul, the great church planter, reminds us in Colossians, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I might proclaim it as clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you might know how to answer everyone. As we choose to bless others this week, may we be patient. Be patient to simply let it be a blessing and not force a conversation about Jesus. But may we be ready when the door opens for that message. When someone asks us why we do what we do, may we with boldness say, I bless other people because I love God, I love others. Jesus compels me to bless others. Let's make the most of every opportunity this week to bless everyone we encounter. There's a doctoral thesis called Blessers versus Converters. The researchers explored two short-term mission teams that go to Thailand, and they go with two vastly distinct messages. The team referred to as blessers, they go with the sole purpose of blessing everyone they can find. They go village to village, helping out in whatever way these villagers needed. They saw their mission to bless whoever came their way with whatever practical support they could provide. On the other hand, the converters went with the sole intention of converting and evangelizing everyone they encountered. Guess who saw more people choose to follow Jesus? The blessers. And not just a couple. The blessers saw 50 times more people say yes to Jesus than the converters, with a slight change of focus. When we surprise the world, when we live questionable lives, including blessing the lives of strangers, we find ourselves being questioned by others. Friends, it's in those moments we have the best opportunity we have for sharing the hope in Jesus. May you make the most of every opportunity this week to bless others. Let's pray together. Jesus, as we go into the world, give us your strength and your courage to bless everyone we encounter. May we carve just a moment from our already busy days to bless three people, to be your physical and tangible representation for your love for them. God, if the opportunity arises, give us the boldness to speak that we bless others because we love and we follow you. And may we not be afraid to say, yes, I do this because I love you. We pray, following your Holy Spirit's lead to guide us this week, we lift up the morning to you, and we pray together, amen.